The Blue Water Chamber of Commerce hosts a variety of networking events, connecting their members with leads, referrals, and people they can do business with. See what's happening at the Chamber and how they can help your business grow at bluewaterchamber.com.
I think this is going to be a big year for the nation's national parks. A lot of people want to travel, get out, and explore. They want to do so domestically, and a lot of people are turning to the national parks for a little bit of adventure. Joining us right now, the editor of a couple of guidebooks from National Geographic, Allison Johnson. Allison, good morning.
Good morning.
Secrets of the national parks and the national parks of the United States. Let's start with the secrets first. What are some hidden gems that people might not be aware of when they're thinking about national parks?
Yeah, you know, we ask park rangers in every park across the country to give some of their best secret tips about what to see and do to get you away from the crowds. One of my favorites right there in Michigan is in Isle Royale. There are 450 islands surrounding the park, and they recommended heading out to Passage Island, where most people know it for their lighthouse, but really they said it's a jungle-like quality that's great for hiking and exploring on that island. So that was definitely one of my favorites to hear about. Another one, Mammoth Cave in Kentucky, which already is really cool. It's the world's longest known cave system, so from the bat, you're spelunking in a national park, which is really cool. But they have a Violet City Lantern Tour, where instead of going on the illuminated pathways, your only light in the cave is a kerosene lamp, and it's just a really cool experience where your senses are engaged, you're hearing the sounds in the cave, and the only light you have is this lamp, and they're casting cool, magical shadows on the cavern walls. And there are hundreds of more tips like that throughout the secrets of the national parks.
Very well worth checking out. A lot of people are planning their summer, and they're either going to take one long vacation or they're going to take a bunch of 3-4 day weekends. What do you do on a short vacation? Are there some national parks we could visit for, say, a 4 day weekend?
Yeah, you know, one of the best ones out in Utah, if you have the chance to get out there, is Zion National Park. While it feels huge, it's really not one of the largest parks out there, but you get those red rock formations and canyons, and you can explore a lot of the park in just 3 or 4 days. There's hiking, there's mountain biking, there's horseback riding, there are water features that you can see. So that's one of the best short trips you can take. And another is down to Florida, where you can go to Biscayne National Parks and Everglades National Park in a long weekend and see them both and enjoy the warm weather while you're at it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I think a lot of people are also planning long vacations, either a combination of time off that they've earned and that you can take, and the ability to work remotely. I think we can kind of combine that, so we can say, okay, I'm going to work remote for a week, I'm going to take my 2 weeks of vacation, work remotely for another week, and be away for a long time. Where could we go for a long stay?
Yeah, you know, one of the greatest things you can do is take a national parks road trip, and California is a great spot to do that. You can go south to north, and you're going to hit Channel Islands, Death Valley, Sequoia National Park, Pinnacles, Kings Canyon, Yosemite, Lassen Volcanic National Park, and the Redwoods. And then if you have a little extra time, you can hop in Oregon at the end of your trip and go to Crater Lake. So you're getting a lot of parks in one trip, and you can really do that in 2 to 3 weeks. A trip from the Grand Canyon to Colorado offers you the same type of experience where you're going to the Colorado parks like Rocky Mountains, and then you can even hit the Utah parks like Capitol Reef and Arches along the way. Or if you have the time, you can make your way out to Alaska or Hawaii, where there are loads of national parks and wilderness to discover, but you're going to need the time and to fly out there and really dedicate some good time to those places.
Yeah, so many national parks. So it seems like you need to plan ahead for some of these trips, but maybe not all of them. Am I right?
Yeah, not all of them. You know, the big ones that you hear a lot about, Yellowstone, Grand Canyon, Yosemite, you're going to want to plan ahead because booking lodging and campsites can get crowded really quickly and there might not be reservations available. But some of the lesser visited parks, you can really plan a week or two or even a month ahead, and you're going to have the opportunities that are similar. You know, Mesa Verde is one of the ones that you can visit without booking far in advance. Voyageurs National Park in Minnesota, you don't need a huge chunk of time to book in advance. So if you're willing to go to the parks that are a little off the beaten path, you're not going to have to plan too far ahead.
Talking with Allison Johnson, the editor, senior editor of the National Geographic Parks of the National Parks of the United States and Secret of the National Parks. So what about wildlife at the parks? And what do you do if you encounter wildlife?
You know, unless you're backcountry hiking or camping, you're not going to have crazy wildlife encounters that you really have to prepare for. Most of the time, you're going to be seeing really cool wildlife from a distance. So you're going to see out west and in the plains bison grazing. You might see some moose, a bighorn sheep. Definitely a lot of bird watching. So if you're a birder, the national parks are the place to be. But you don't have to hugely prepare for wildlife encounters. As long as you give the wildlife their space, they'll give you yours. And if you do see, you know, a bear or something, it's going to be very far in the distance, and you should count yourself lucky to have witnessed a bear in real life.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about that. It'd be really cool to see at a distance.
Allison,
if you could only see one national park, what one would you recommend?
Oh my goodness, that's a tough one. You know, one of my favorite parks that really surprised me how much I loved it was Volcano National Park in Hawaii. I didn't have huge expectations for it, but my husband and I went there on our honeymoon and spent the whole day driving through the park. And along with seeing the really cool lava spills into the ocean, there's such a diversity of landscapes throughout the park. You're going to see lava fields. You're going to see some tree areas. You're going to see petroglyphs. And it's a really cool place to hike and explore. You're going to walk through lava tubes, which is really cool. And I really think it's a park worth getting to if you can.
It really, these books give you a real appreciation of the diversity that this country has. When you think about all the national parks coast to coast, lots of different things to see.
Yes, absolutely. You can go everywhere from redwood forest to mangrove forest in Florida. So there's really a diversity of landscapes and nature to take in.
All right. Beautiful books, indeed. Secrets of the National Parks and Guide to the National Parks from National Geographic. Allison, thanks for telling us about it. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye.